always to have Preacher Lassie come speak for us. As I've told you before, but just in case you're new to the church or newer to the church, and you've not had and have not heard me say this, this is our pastor emeritus, pastor of this church for over 46 years. And the Lord's laid it on my heart to keep him before this church. And in order to do that, to have him preach around once a month or so. And typically he preaches on Wednesday nights, sometimes on Sundays, but this is his Wednesday night to preach. I think it's very appropriate. And preacher, we love you. God bless you. You come preach for us, sir, please.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jody. And it is always a privilege to stand and brag on Jesus. He's the only one worth bragging on, isn't he? And turning your Bibles, please, to Psalm 85:6. Psalm 85:6. And we'll use that as a springboard for our message tonight. Psalm 85:6, page 641 in your old Schofield Reference Bible, King James Version. Somebody say amen right there. That wasn't a few. Just a few, but thank God for the few. But Psalm 85:6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? The psalmist is praying this. Let's read it again, just two lines. He's saying, will thou not revive us again? And folks, we need revival everywhere. I mean, all of us need revival. I need it. Constantly, I need revival. If I don't get revived every now and then, I'm not worth shooting at sunrise. And we in our churches, in our Baptist, fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church, we need revival. And all across America, we're in bad shape. I mean, only a Holy Ghost revival sent down from God could straighten the mess out in America. God's still able to give us revival. Let me read that one more time. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I've been around revivals, many of them. And God gets to move, and God's people get to rejoice. And that's what I hope we can see next week here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I had a message on revival ready for tonight, but the Lord led me to go in a different direction. And I felt led the Lord to give a testimony of some revivals down through the years of my life that he's allowed me to experience. And they have revivals. The revivals that I've been around where God really has moved has greatly affected my life and my ministry. And real revival, folks, now like we had touch revival up in Bristol. I mean, God's hand, every night I was there, I was praising the Lord and shouting. And my wife would have been ashamed of me. But, I mean, brother, when the Lord comes on the scene, you got to praise the Lord. But anyway, I felt like the Lord wanted tonight to give a testimony of some of the revivals that he's allowed me to experience. And they have greatly, greatly affected my life. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we pray with the psalmist that you would revive us again, that we may rejoice not in ourselves. Lord, I don't have anything to rejoice in myself. Lord, I rejoice in the Lord tonight. He's the only one worth bragging on. And Lord, would you help me tonight? Lord, I can't do it without your help. Thank you for Brother Jody. Thank you for this church, these dear people tonight. And God, I want to lift up Jesus and the Word of God and the great need for revival here next week. Would you help me? Holy Spirit, would you touch me? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm just going to mention some revivals that down through the years, just a few the Lord's laid on my heart that's really helped me and touched me. And there was a revival, really, that influenced my life before I was ever born. The Lord just tonight, when I started thinking of this sermon for tonight, he laid this on my heart. My daddy fought in World War I in Europe. 1917, 18, somewhere along there. He was a machine gunner in the Red Diamond Division. I think there's a 5th Division. And my dad fought through the war. It wasn't a long war, I don't think. Just a couple of years. He was gassed a number of times, and he was a coal miner under the mountains at Saudi there for over 30 years, and he always had the coal miners' asthma and being gassed in the war. He always had lung problems. He was a healthy man, though, a good man in spite of that. And there in the war in Europe, as the bullets were flying and the shells were exploding, my dad looked up to heaven and said, "Lord, if you will spare my life, I'll get saved when I get back to Tennessee." Because he knew the old-time religion at that time was all over America at that time. And the Lord spared him. I wish he'd have got saved right then. He might have had a bullet with his name on it over there, but the Lord spared him. And when he got back to Tennessee in about 1919 or 20, somewhere along there, he got married to my mother, and a tent revival came to Saudi, Tennessee. And the Lord at that time reminded my dad of the promise that he made. If I'd spare his life, he'd be saved when he got back to Tennessee. And so my mother and my father went to that revival, and both got saved. And it was an authentic conversion, because it lasted for many years, and they both died in the faith. And so the Lord saved my father, and I was born into a home where they believed the old-time religion. Your young people, if you're here tonight, and you have a home where they believe the Bible and the old-time religion, are trying to live for the Lord, you ought to thank God. I'm glad I was born. Then moving on, then another Dr. J. Harold Smith, he's in heaven now, but has been one of the greatest men of God to ever walk in shoe leather on this country, in this continent. And he pastored in Chattanooga for a time, and was on the radio all over. He finally got over on radio about all over America. But my folks listened to him out of Chattanooga, and they were both saved, but they listened to him, and he was a spirit-filled man, believed in living right, the old-time religion. And my folks, we didn't have a car in the family, so they took a bus when he'd have a tent revival near his church down in Chattanooga. And they went down there and heard this man, heard him on the radio, heard him in person, and he influenced them for the old-time religion. Brother, they wouldn't let me go to movies. They wouldn't let me go to dances. They wouldn't let me smoke. No sports on Sunday. I couldn't even pass a football or a baseball on Sunday. But I thank God for the influence, the great influence that Dr. J. Harold Smith had on my family. And then thirdly, another revival of the Lord laid it on my heart to emphasize that. I've told you about this before, but I was saved on Sunday, July the 15th, 1945, at the Oak Street Baptist Church in Saudi, Tennessee. Now, I was a 13-year-old boy, and I'd been going to, I was a Methodist at that time, been going to a Boy Scout troop, and I loved the Boy Scouts, and we had a great time, go camping and back up in the mountains and summer camping, and the scoutmaster said, "Boys, we're going to go over to the Oak Street Baptist Church. For all of us going to go over, wear your uniforms, we're going to go over there to the revival Sunday night." Now, I didn't go to that revival that night to get saved. I mean, I didn't even think about getting saved. I was just going to my Boy Scout troop. But Jimmy Catless, from an evangelist, he was an evangelist, but he didn't come on Sunday night. I think he had a pastor in Chattanooga. And Bill Sisk was a preacher. But the pastor, he preached that night. And during the invitation, he said, if you have been praying for somebody, go stand by them. Now, all of us Boy Scouts were seated over in the wing on that side. And when he said that, about four or five people come over and stood around me. And they were weeping. You can't do anything with tears. People praying for you, burden wanting to see you saved. And I wanted a trap door to open up and take me down to the basement. But all of a sudden I looked up and here come Mama all across the church in front of me. She didn't have to say a word. But I went over and got down at that mourner's bench. Old Deacon Groomer Jett put his arm around me and said, "Gene, will you trust Christ?" And that night I said yes. I believe that was God's sovereign. I'm not a Calvinist, but I believe a sovereign God. It was my time to get saved that night. And so I opened my heart to Christ. And then there were two people saved that night. The town drunk got saved and shouted. I went to Methodist Church where they were good people, but they'd lost all their shout. And this town drunk shouted all over the place. I didn't know what's going on. But that night, 73 years ago, two were saved. One was a town drunk, and the other was a 13-year-old boy, Gene Lashley. And folks, listen, this is the reason we need Holy Ghost revival in our churches. Holy Ghost revival will produce Baptist preachers. And dead, cold services will not produce anything because people won't hurry up and get out of there. I remember in the Mays, aren't you glad? How many of you remember Mays Jackson coming here? I mean, what a great preacher. He preached one night, and Guy Altizer came right down here and surrendered to be a preacher. And he left our church, was educated, and he's been preaching ever since. Now he's a missionary going around the world. Now that's what Holy Ghost revival will do for us. Then let me move on quickly. What time is it here? Well, I got plenty of time. Revival up in 1950, July of 1950, there was a great revival up a hollow from where I lived, up Moxon Hollow, about a mile up the hollow there in that little church. And it was one of the greatest things that ever happened in my life. It was in July, and I was going to go off and play college football the next month, the last of August. But that night, after supper, we had pinto beans and cornbread and fried potatoes and big onion and a glass of tea. Now, you can't beat that anywhere in any place. But after we ate, my mama and my daddy and my brother Don and Bobby and I walked up Moxon Hollow, about one mile up to Moxon Hollow, and went to that church. And the church wasn't large. I'd say it wouldn't seat over 100, 150, but in the summer, their air-conditioned unit was to raise all the windows, you know. And so there was probably 150 inside the church, and maybe 100 or more, looking in all the windows. And we had God, revival, folks, is God coming down to earth, the Holy Spirit working. That's what real revival, and it's hard to describe, but it's a wonderful thing to be around where God is really working. And so I was sitting, I won my first soul to the Lord. I was a senior, just got out of high school, and I was sitting out on the bank looking in a winded thing. I couldn't get in. It's so full, I couldn't even get in that night. But my first cousin, Ed, had fought in World War II, and he'd gotten wounded two or three times, and come back, and it wrecked his life. It started drinking and divorced his wife, and he was sitting by me that night. And I said, "Ed, why don't you go in and get saved?" And I didn't know how to tell him to get saved. I just knew that the Lord would save him, though. And he just got right up, and I followed him, and I couldn't even get into so many people in the aisles praying and shouting and everything. And I knelt back there and prayed. In a few minutes, I looked up, and Ed was up on his feet praising the Lord. The Lord saved his soul that night. Then I've told you, my Uncle Jim's the worst drunk I've ever seen in my life. He was saved in that. I mean, people getting saved and getting right with God in that revival up Moxon Hollow. And God used that revival. Daddy would make us, all the family, go up there every night after supper. And we were around the presence of God. In real revival, God moves in. And that's, Dr. Comfort is a good man, a good preacher. God's used him for many years. We've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people saved. And let's pray and get under this thing Folks, we need revival. A church has to have revival every now and then or it'll go down. We need revival at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And let me see where I am. But anyway, God used that revival to strengthen me just before I went off to play football for 3 rigorous years of college football. And that revival helped me to stay true to God all those years. And then I'd felt for about 4 years, the Lord had called me to preach. And I didn't say no, but I just didn't. You've heard me tell this before, but it's what the Lord wanted me to say tonight. And I just didn't think I could do it. I didn't mind getting out on the football field and all like that and went hunting with men, but I just didn't like to get up and give a book report in school, and couldn't see myself getting in front of a group of people and preaching. But in the spring practice at Southern Mississippi during my junior year, I started preaching. I surrendered to preach and got me a new RSV. That's all those preachers saying, oh, that's going to replace the King James, though I didn't know any better. That's why we need people that believes right. If you're going to hang around them, make sure they believe the Bible from cover to cover. And I started preaching in Mississippi, around Hattiesburg there, out of a revised old King James Lashley preaching. I started preaching out of the Revised Standard Version. And I've told you before, I went home to Soddy, Tennessee, and I showed my mama my new Bible. And she had been listening to J. Harold Smith. And he had crucified the Revised Standard Version. And my mama's 6th or 7th grade education, she said, Gene, that's a bad Bible. They took a virgin out of Isaiah 7:14. And you're me a big college boy, and my mama's cleaning my plow. And she said, it's put out by the National Council of Churches, that liberal organization. Well, I sort of resented my mama dressing me down, her the 6th education. I was a junior in college. But the Holy Spirit, aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit, impressed on my heart that my mama was right, and I've been using, hallelujah, a King James Version ever since. Now I got off into the Scofield Reference Bible, King James Version. But now forward just a little bit. I left Southern Mississippi after my junior year and went over to Bob Jones University, where I gave up my scholarship and I had to sell shoes and clean restrooms to pay my way through school. But that's the best move I ever made in my life. Now, let me see where I am in my notes here. But I knew I had to leave football and get Bible training if I was going to be a preacher. I still love football, and I'm still read all about it in the papers, and I still love it. But anyway, I went to Bob Jones University for 3 years, got my bachelor's and master's degree, and the Lord led me over there because old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was one of the greatest men to ever walk shoe leathers in America, a great evangelist. And he had he'd preach and he'd had the fear of God. What time is it here? I've got a few more minutes. He had the fear of God on him. And some of the kids they're strict, and they're strict today, but they were really strict then. And he'd say, young people, if you don't like what's going on around here, hit the 4-lane highway and start your own college. And also, liberals, he hated liberals, and he'd say, liberals are going to hell. Every time he'd get up, he'd say, liberals, and by the way, they are. Anybody that believes that there's errors and contradictions in that Bible, folks, can't be saved. They just can't do it. Because the Holy Spirit, if you get saved, the Holy Spirit will help you. You'll love the Word of God. But anyway, let me keep on here, because I got about 15 minutes left. So, but anyway, I got my master's, B.A. and my master's. Then I went up to Vancouver Youth for Christ in Vancouver, Washington for a year, and then went down to Southwestern Baptist Seminary for a year and a half. Then I left because upset at a liberal professor. He said that there's errors and contradictions in the sayings of Jesus on the cross. And that tore me up. I went back to my dormitory and laid down on a bed and started weeping because I thought that was a perfect, and by the way, it is. It is perfect. And I pulled down Thiessen, and where he said there's no contradictions in the sayings on the cross. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, that was a thrill. I took it. I went down there in Fort Worth Hall, the first floor, they was having a meal, and I went in to talk to this doctor, teacher in Southwestern Baptist Seminary, and I told him what Thiessen said. He was eating. He said, well, if that satisfies Thiessen, well, he just kept on eating. You know what I did? At the end of the semester, I left Southwestern Baptist Seminary. I wasn't going to be around a school where they had some teachers that didn't believe the Bible was inerrant. Now, here's the problem. I had no money and no job. And what else could I do? But I went back to Soddy, Tennessee to live with my mama, who was just on old age assistance. Now, I'd played college football 3 years and got my BA and master's. And as I look back, the Lord had to humble me before he could use me. And by the way, we have to get humble before God ever uses us. If the Lord ever uses you, you've got to humble. And I didn't realize it, but the Lord had me to go back to Tennessee. I believe the Lord is in that. And where else to go? And he wanted to draw me closer to him before he opened up an opportunity for me to go out and serve him in my life. And every day, didn't have a job, didn't have any money, living off my mother. And I'd take my Bible every day for, I guess, 6 or 8 weeks or even more. I don't remember exactly how long, but number, 6 or 8 weeks or maybe 10 or 12 weeks. I don't remember. Long time. I'd take my Bible, and I'd go up in the Soddy Mountains, and I'd walk hour after hour. And I'd stop and read my Bible and pray and walk over that mountain and fellowship with the Lord. And the Lord, I'd sing the old songs of Zion, and I couldn't find a church that wanted me because I'd sing, or nobody wanted a single pastor. And so I had no job and had to live off of my dear widowed mother. And I think I sort of like... the Lord reminded me that sort of like Elijah, he had to live off of the widow of Zarephath when the Lord told him to leave that brook and go up there. And I got up in the mountains and prayed day after day after day, and I didn't realize what the Lord had waiting on me up in those mountains. As I prayed and sang the songs of Zion and read the Word of God, and I remember saying one time up in the mountains, I looked up to the Lord God of heaven, and I said, Lord, you have saved me and called me to preach. And surely, Lord, there's somewhere across this country you could use me for your glory. And God humbled me and made me look up to heaven alone up in those mountains. And then, you know what? When the Lord had me just where he wanted me, business started picking up. And I was broken and cast myself on God. And that's exactly what he wanted me to do. Then I got a call to be Youth for Christ director up in Dixon, Sterling, Illinois. It's a great ministry. And I was up there, had about 12 Bible clubs in the high schools, junior highs, and rallies on youth rallies on Saturday night. We'd have 500-600 people sometime, many people saved. And while I was up there, I was preaching in a Mennonite church. Let me look at my wife, where she see her here. And when the Lord brought a young lady by the name of Ellen out to hear me preach that day. And she had been praying for the Lord to send her an Isaac into her life. And she didn't get an Isaac. She got an old ex-football player and a shouting Baptist preacher. The Lord was good to you, wasn't he, husband? And then let me interject this. Before I went up to Illinois, over here, Brother Richard Ratliff used to pastor Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and he was pastoring over at Oak Grove Baptist Church at that time. He and I become good friends, and he asked me to come up and hold a 2-week revival. Well, I didn't. I just preached around here and there, and I loaded up and come up to Oak Grove over here, and I didn't. Richard would take me around to the classes, and every class I'd go in, I'd give a testimony. And you know what happened? In the children's class and the youth classes and young married and the adult classes, men's class, every one of them would start weeping. I had the touch of God on me from being up in the mountains for about two months or whatever it was. And you know, I didn't even realize what was going on. I'm glad I didn't realize that, or I'd probably been as proud as a peacock. But on the Saturday of the second week of that revival, I'd preached all week long, and then in the second week till the Friday night of the second week, and over here at Oak Grove, and we had people saved every night, just about it. People getting right with God every night. Oh, listen, folks, you know, I'd like to see God working again today like that. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to see that? I mean, here I'd go in and just start witnessing in a class, and all the Sunday school would be weeping in there. And then we had people over at Oak Grove saved and get rededicate during the lives every night. And let me get back on my notes where I am. I've got this. Then on the second Saturday of that revival over at Oak Grove, my brother Don came up from Bob Jones University. My folks had two Baptist preachers in the family. And I said, Don, you're going to have to preach for me tomorrow because I'm preaching my last sermon I've got tonight. I don't have any more sermons, or I'm going to have to give them a rerun. And so Don preached for me on Sunday, all day Sunday, the last Sunday. And you know where we came to baptize all the converts? We came over to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. The Lord is showing me, and I didn't realize it, where he was going to bring me. And it's the Gray Funeral Home now. But we had a baptismal service down there, and they were lined up. You know where the back door is of the funeral home there? All the way up to the baptistry. That's how many got, I don't know how many got baptized. But we had... Let's come back to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church now. I'm down here now in Tennessee in my life story, and the first revival I had after I'd been here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in '63. I'd been there 2 or 3 months, and I got my brother Don to come and hold a revival for us down there. And the Lord gave us, some of you, I know some of you were here, let's see, Betty and Nancy, and who else was up here in the revival? Raise your hand. There's some of you were. And so they know what I'm saying here. And we had a revival, and souls saved every service or dedications. And on the final Sunday, Don preached, and 25 people. Now, we had to break the record day that day and had about 225 as a record at that time. And he had 25 people saved or rededications, and he turned it over to me, and I knew the Lord wasn't through with it. You know what I did? I jumped up and preached an extemporaneous sermon, and we had 25 more salvation decisions or rededications. And that led me to say that my ministry was born at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in Holy Ghost Revival. Oh, we'd like to see that some this week. So pray the Lord God of heaven will touch us next week. And so the Lord God of heaven touched my life. And when I came back to Saudi after I finished my education, no money, no job, living off of a widowed mother, living on her small, but my mother graciously received me back. And up in those soddy mountains, he humbled me before he ever used me. And that's what the Bible teaches. And James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of God. And what will he do? He'll lift you up. And Psalm 51:18 says, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And then the Lord God of heaven made a promise in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Listen, God made this promise, folks, almost 3,000 years ago, and it's never been broken. If people meet the conditions of Second Chronicles 7:14, God sends revival every time. He said, the God who cannot lie said, if my people, which are called by my name, now right here is where what takes care of most revivals, shall humble themselves. That's the first thing in a revival. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. God said, you'll do that, and I will hear from heaven and forgive your sin and heal your land. God wants us to do four things, but it starts with humble ourselves. And we've got to come, folks, we've got to come down. You know, I'm glad the Lord brought me down, Brother Jody, to humble me before it ever used me. And it's either humble ourselves or we can't have revival. So I want to close by saying this. Do you want Holy Ghost revival in your heart and life? In your family? You know, folks, your kids, your precious children need to see a revival. With mom and dad getting revived and church getting revived. You know, you'll lose your children. Dad, you need to pray, get yourself right. And let's have revival around here next week. If we don't have revival, you may lose your children. Because God will work on them during a revival. Do you want to have revival here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? The first step in a revival is to humble ourselves. And if we'll humble ourselves, business with the Lord God of heaven will pick up when we just humble ourselves. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm going to stop right there. That's the message that God laid on my heart. If we'll humble ourselves, how many tonight want Holy Ghost revival in your heart? How many want? Let's see your hand. If you want Holy Ghost revival, it'll come when you humble yourself for God. Just start playing something over there, All to Jesus I Surrender. I want dads and moms, if you want revival in your home, you want your children to experience a Holy Ghost revival next week, then let's come to this altar tonight, right now. Just get up from where you're seated right now, and let's have a great prayer time. Come on, right now. If you want revival, humble ourselves and pray and seek the face of God and turn from our wicked ways, we can have revival. Cry out to God, first of all, for your own self. Humble yourself right now. Let's make this a humbling service. Let's humble ourselves for God. Oh, we're just old sinners saved by the grace of God, dependent upon the Lord God forever and for everything we have. Let's tell him, Lord, I need you. I just can't make it without you. I want to humble myself tonight before you. You're all I need, Lord. Tell him you're all I need. And that he's all you need. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Bless next week the music, the preaching, the services. Give us Holy Ghost revival. You know the sin, the great revival in my soul. Let's sing with heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's just sing the chorus. Send the great revival in my soul. Let the Holy Spirit come and take control and send a great revival in my soul. Pray it from our heart. Pray it from your heart. Humble yourself before God and pray for revival. Go ahead.
Send a great revival in my soul. Send a great revival in my soul. Let the Holy Spirit come and take control and send a great revival in my soul.
Let's sing it again.
Send a great revival in my soul.